everybody.
Hey!
Welcome to episode... we talked over each other. Episode 22. Yep.
Episode 22 in the long run, or season 2, episode 2. Because we are in season 2, and here in season 2, you get to see our faces if you tune in on YouTube. And if not, that's fine. That's fine. You can just hear our voices, and that's okay, too.
Either or.
Either way. Today we are sitting here in our little lounge. We're sipping a cup of tea. So if you are listening in a place where you can get yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, I invite you to join us. A cocktail maybe, depending on what time it is. But maybe you're listening to podcasts on a run, in your car on the way someplace while you're stuck in traffic. Wherever you are, we hope you have a good one. And we thank you for choosing to listen to Spoiler Alert by Fanservice Apparel.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. I listened to it in the car. That's where I normally listen to, so.
Podcast? To your podcast? Yeah. Yep. I do, too. Yeah, I feel like, yeah. Or, like, when I'm getting ready, I can turn it on and I just have it on while I'm kind of puttering about. Yeah, so, actually, if you want to let us know when and where you listen to us, or now watch us, I suppose, that'd be great. That'd be cool. I'd want to know that. Yeah. Hey, I like what you're wearing today, Nick. You got a sweatshirt and shorts. Thank you.
Yeah, I call it, like, Nantucket casual.
Nantucket casual? I was just thinking indecisive about the weather. But Nantucket casual, that's...
In movies about people on the East Coast in beachy kind of communities because of the weather, I've seen a lot of, like, this kind of sweater than with shorts because it's like you're going to go to the beach, but it might be cold kind of thing.
No, you're right. I like that. That's a good thing to be channeling. We live not anywhere near Nantucket. We're in Los Angeles, in case you didn't know. So, unfortunately...
This is what I think people in Nantucket
are. Right. And the weather today is hot. It's July. It's hot. I'm wearing a sundress, but... a sweater over it because it's cool inside, hot outside. Go outside, take off the sweat. You know, that's just what you got to do. If you live in Southern California, you know the struggle. You know how it goes. It's just how it is.
I just want it to be cold so I can put on layers to be warm.
Tell me about it.
I don't want to go outside where it's warm because that's the different kind of warm. I want to blast the AC and be cold.
I want it to be cold around me and then I make myself warm. I am exactly the same way. That is, and I'm so ready for it because... I'm not a summer person. I'm not a hot weather person. Sorry if you are. But, like, I'm ready for Halloween. I know.
Isn't after... it's past the 4th of July. Isn't that the beginning of Halloween?
Pretty much. I mean...
In the States, it is,
at least. Yeah, I think so. Our daughter is ready. I think she's the reason that I'm thinking about Halloween. For some reason, just in the past week or something... She's been watching so many little videos on her tablet about Halloween. She keeps bringing it up, wanting to pretend it's Halloween, wanting to play trick-or-treat at home. She's just like, she's ready. She's talking about what she's going to dress up as. She's done waiting. She's done ready for Halloween. So I guess I feel that way too.
Yeah.
You know, I just know that starting next month, starting August, we're going to see the pumpkin spice come back. We're going to see things start to turn orange. We're going to see pumpkins in different marketing things. We're going to see the stuff happening.
I forgot. I mean, I guess like in COVID times, a year is like so many years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was just like, oh yeah, I forgot that last year, pumpkin spice kind of became like the unofficial
August
signal.
The signal,
the beginning of okay to talk about fall. Other companies rallied around
the Starbucks pumpkin spice.
The pumpkin spice day.
Launch. Yes. Let us be clear. We are referring to Starbucks. I know everybody does something pumpkin spice now, but it's all keying off of Starbucks. They really made it a feeling. They took a flavor and made it a feeling. They made it a season. They made it something you could be a fan of. Like a real fan.
Yeah.
So I know we do talk about fandoms a lot. If you are
coffee
also
fandom.
Part of the coffee fandom and or pumpkin spice fandom.
Yeah.
I'm raising my hand because that's me. That's me. Me. Love it. Can't wait. But regardless, here we are. It is July, not anywhere near pumpkin spice time.
No.
But we have been so excited to talk to you guys about a couple things. We have Umbrella Academy, because even though it released like a couple weeks ago, we just finished it ourselves. So we want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The Miss Marvel ending, mm-hmm. which as we're recording today, the last episode, the finale dropped today. We just watched that. And then, I also want to chat about Harry Potter, which may seem random, but we'll get to that later. So stick around for that to see what that's all about. But anyway,
yes,
I think we should, which one do you want to jump into first? Umbrella or?
Let's talk about Miss Marvel, because we just watched that.
Okay.
So it's fresh.
Great. It's fresh in our minds.
It's fresh in our minds.
So like this show, I'm giving it like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah. I can't give it a 10 out of 10 because it didn't like knock my socks off. It didn't. Because
it wasn't directed by Taika Waititi.
Sure. We can say that. But it was so good. I really, really don't find fault with it.
No, it was very good.
It was so well done, honestly. I can tell you maybe one fault I had. Did I talk about this last time?
What did you talk about?
The clandestines. Forgive me if I brought this up before,
You know what that rings a bell? I know off air you've been talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I can't remember. That's a thing. It all blurs together sometimes. The clandestines, they were the bad guys, right? But we didn't get time enough to really even care about them. So we met them, and then they nearly immediately became clearly the bad guys.
And then, like, in the second to last episode, we had that, like,
the sacrificial moment.
The Red Dagger, like, clubhouse.
Oh, sure.
With basically the shortcut of all the exposition, which, you know, you start when you know the beats that shows is trying to hit, you know eventually you're gonna get to this point where there's just like a lot of exposition.
They have generally to just explain it's not it done. All.
More times than not, it's just not done well. It's like a information vomit where mm-hmm. it's just like, and then there's this, and then there's that, and these are all the reasons that you need to be aware of this and that for this mm-hmm, in the story mm-hmm. to make sense.
Right.
And when you do it well, not only do you not know what's going on, but it's also really interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they did the best kind of exposition dump that they could have, because we had to have the effects of our world, the other world, like toppling it over. Like mm-hmm. there was a lot of VFX in that. They're like, and then this world is above our world, and there's another world, and like, it's like, whoa, I didn't even get time to absorb that. Like, what?
That's true.
Were borders? Do they follow our borders? Are some of their land on water? Like, what's going on?
And they just kept saying it would destroy our world, but how? Why do I care? Does it make sense?
It just seemed like they're...
You're right. It was a little rushed, and I feel that way about the clandestines as characters, that we met them, and they are like, seem like they're cool, and they're inviting in Kamala, and they... Or Kamala, mm-hmm. not Kamala?
Kamala.
Not Kamala Harris.
Not
Kamala. Kamala. I said it right the first time, but I second-guessed myself. Ah, Kamala. So they invite in Kamala. They're being so friendly with her and everything. But then it changes so fast.
It does.
I think we learned everybody's name, but I don't remember them.
I don't remember everybody's name.
I wish we would have gotten maybe one extra episode where... we like them, where we befriend them, we know their names, we know their little skills that they have, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit about why they miss their home so much and what they think makes it better, right? Something to give you a little, oh, that's interesting, maybe they're not so bad after all, and then they turn, and then that would have had a lot more impact. Because it was just like, they're clandestines, they're bad, and here they come, and now they're attacking, and I'm just like, this feels like it happened, like, they just come to the wedding and attack, and I'm just like, I don't know.
We need to go back to our world, and our world is, you know, but then somebody else is like, but their world, going back to their world means that they destroy our world. It's like...
It just felt a little rushed. I get that maybe it needed to be because they have to keep it in a certain amount
of time.
But I think that
I would have liked...
A better build-up to that attack.
I'm sure there's, like, a through line that makes sense, but just for the casual viewer and trying to think about how somebody that's watching it once is absorbing it. It seemed like they had competing goals or competing outcomes to going back to their world. They just wanted to go home, but then going home meant destroying our world. But are they trying to just destroy our world for the sake of their world, or were they, was that like a byproduct of them going back to their world? But then
when they all died, I didn't care as much as I think I was supposed to, based on the cinematics, the music, the moment they took, when the lady sacrificed herself and gave her powers over to her son. I didn't really connect in that moment because I didn't feel that I had much to connect to. So again, I think that just a little more like build up with them would have helped cement that in. But that's just, I mean, that's purely opinion. Opinion. I'd love to know what you guys think, if you agree, or if you feel like what they did was perfectly fine and just enough and you did feel connected, and then maybe it was just me. And maybe it was just me and Nick. I don't know. But otherwise, really, Kamala is such a great character, and she's just such a great superhero too. I just really love, I love her. I love her a lot. Like, she feels like someone that you connect to. I love that she's got this kind of struggle of her identity. Is she regular? Is she superhero? Is she a clandestine? Is she a human or a djinn? Or is she,
at the end, you know, where he was like
Pakistani, or is she, you know,
mutated?
Yeah.
And I was oh, they're throwing in the word mutants, like mutants. The X-Men.
I thought that too.
And the Q. Did you hear that? That I might be crazy. I'm gonna have to wait for somebody like Screen Crush or something to like really go into the weeds. But the music cue when he said mutant got a little synthy, and it almost sounded like the intro theme song to the X-Men show from like the 90s.
What?
That, you know, is that what I'm talking about?
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I didn't watch it.
It had like a very distinct like late 80s, early 90s synthy kind of like sound to it. And I don't know if they were trying to like invoke that when he said mutants, but it was definitely not the same type of music cues we've been getting on the show. So there was a choice there. There was a choice
made. A choice was made. That's really interesting. Yeah. Oh, and that post-credits scene.
I'm going to guess that it's like that negative zone kind of idea from the comics where, like, I'm not going to do this well. There's like two people that share that. Nope, I'm not going to try to go into it. It has something to do with, like, the bands. Remember we would watch some kind of, like, comic breakdown that talked about in the comics that, like, Captain Marvel, when it was a man, had, like, these, like, cuff bands that basically had him, like, go to another dimension but as a different person. Oh. And, like, they were able to kind of jump between the two dimensions with these bands. And she had her band, and it made a kind of weird color and noise. Yeah,
and then she sucked into the closet.
It was like a swoop. Well, I think the closet was supposed to be like a reveal, but she like kind of looked like, she almost looked like she was apparating to talk about Harry Potter.
No, I think she was kind of like sucked. I saw like a whoa.
She was like transfigured, and then I think Carol Danvers is what falls into the closet, because the outline in the closet is like Carol Danvers size.
Right.
So I think that was meant to kind of confuse you so there was a reveal when she got up.
Maybe.
But I saw like this, like, again, it looked like apparating, where she was kind of like morphing into nothing and then like.
But how funny that of all the places for Carol Danvers to pop up, she stands up and looks around, and she's holding like her own poster in her hand. Yeah. And she sees all these posters everywhere of her own face, and just so funny. That has to be weird. I loved it. I thought that was cool. And I'm excited to see what that means for season two.
I'm excited.
Because obviously our big bads of this season are dealt with. Okay. Like the clandestines. Dealt with.
Yeah.
Kamran started to seem like he was turning evil, then he kind of went better.
But maybe he's going to be evil.
I don't know, maybe. And then the whatever they're called, the Department of Damage Control. They seem to be dealt with too, which that you know, whole fight scene there at the end, that was pretty good. I liked it. I liked their ragtag team in the high school.
Oh, the Home Alone.
Setting up all these like distractions and the softballs and the classic, the bike like, with the fire extinguishers. And that was awesome. I thought that was great.
That was good.
Yeah.
I also liked how they were kind of, how do you say it? Like, they were using TikTok, right? You know?
Yeah, that's true. Like,
a lot of shows use social media, and it's not really representative. And it's kind of like,
meh, that's cheesy.
That's not really what happens. But if somebody had a big following, they could go live and be like, hey, show up at this place.
Yes, and then everybody else was doing their take on it.
Their take on it, which I like that. Mm-hmm, that was good. Mm-hmm. So... somebody there's a young person there somewhere on that team that gets it.
I think that was evident in all of the show, the way the text messages were in the world. We touched on
this thing in the last episode, that this really feels like a show that was written for the next generation of people.
And it was, because then it says Ms. Marvel will return in
The Marvels.
So The Marvels is coming out before season 2 of Ms. Marvel.
Yes.
Because that otherwise it would have said season 2. Yeah.
I'm excited.
So that is exciting. So maybe who's going to be in The Marvels? Do we know? Can you look that up and see if we know?
It's like, it's Carol Danvers. It's...
The Hawkeye girl, right?
No, I don't think the Hawkeye... she's in the Young Avengers.
Oh, Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, while Nick is looking that up, just to wrap up our thoughts on Ms. Marvel... so, so good. If you haven't watched it, we've just spoiled a lot for you. But go watch it anyway, because it's worth the watch. It's so cute. It's so well done. And it's also just, like, really full of heart, I would say. The moments with her family, the moments with her mosque, her friends. It just, all of it has so much heart to it. And like we talked about last episode, a lot of history that we had never heard before or learned before, failed by our school systems, I guess. But we got to the opportunity to learn more about the partition because of this show. And I think it's great that it had this really important educational historical aspect that now so many more people are going to be aware of. It needed that awareness. I can't believe I didn't know about such a historic, gigantic event.
I know.
I'm embarrassed that I didn't know that, but you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And it was just never taught to me. And now I know, and I'm so glad that I know. Yeah, I am. So what did you find out?
So it's going to be Captain Marvel. It's going to be...
Captain Marvel. Okay.
Miss Marvel. And Monica Rambeau.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So kind of just...
the one from WandaVision.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau. Yeah. Yes. Which was... yeah. Okay. That's exciting. That's exciting. Also,
it's in November. Comes out in November.
One more thing about Ms. Marvel. I loved the reveal of her name. Because I didn't expect that. I thought she was just going to call herself that because she loved Captain Marvel, right? And I think we probably all expected that. But then that moment with her dad, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then when she like bops away and he's sitting there on the roof and you see the reflection in his eyes and his glasses of the little purple.
Yeah.
And his face just looks so proud of her.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my heart. It's beautiful. And he's been supportive and proud of her all this time, the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, and I know she had that rocky relationship with her mother, as most teen girls do, I think. But then her mom comes around and at the end is like, and we trust her, right? We trust her. And I was like, well done, Mom. Good job.
Which is, I guess, a little bit of a stretch.
I don't know.
This goes back to like the end of Encanto.
But listen, it does make sense because she healed her relationship with her mother.
That, you know what, that makes more sense.
And she had to do that first to understand.
I guess you're right.
To get this whole family, generational history situation, healing. And then she was able to give that to her own daughter.
Okay.
And give that support. So I love it. Love to see it. Love to see it. It's so good.
You okay?
Just a little.
Okay.
Just, it's all good.
Okay.
Let's move on to Umbrella Academy. Speaking of family issues. Family drama? Family trauma.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So Umbrella Academy, we love it. Season 3, we just finished it, and I still love it. I do have to say, though, I'm just going to put this out there. I think season 1 was the best season. Season 2 was very, 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 very good.
Yeah.
Season 3 was good.
Hmm.
Season 3 was good. It wasn't bad. It was good. But I feel like it lost its way a little bit in there. It got a little, I mean, it's always convoluted, but I feel like it got a little more convoluted. There were things in it that I mean, and maybe it's straight from the comics, and having not read the comics, I wouldn't know, but like there were things that just felt out of place and strange. Like the samurai, for example.
Oh, in the
in the Oblivion.
Hotel Oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested where it left off. I'm very interested in a season 4. If it's been confirmed, I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it has? Been,
yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
But I mean, season 1 was just so captivating. It was so well done. I loved it. And then season 2, where they go back in time and they have to stop the end of the world to keep time going and all of this. Loved it. Loved it. And I loved that you had that actress with the red hair who was the commissioner who as like this villain to number 5.
Yeah.
The mom of Lila.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a great character. Obviously, like, she is no more. I thought we'd kind of get a replacement of her of some kind.
Yeah.
But it was just sort of Harlan who was the main villain, yes and no. But only at the very end. It was like the Sparrows were a villain, sort of.
Sort of. I get what you're saying, where, I don't know, the first two seasons felt convoluted, but the pacing was kept up. This seemed convoluted, but slightly drug out. And I think that's maybe where it got a little boring. Because if it's convoluted, but it moves fast.
I think it got boring in the middle.
Your mind is like really trying to keep up with everything going on.
Yeah.
But if it's convoluted and we have whole episodes that just kind of...
Just in the hotel, just wondering what's going on.
Or like, really for me, the clearest sign was the episode that was about like just their wedding. It was like wedding at the end of the world or something that was like, I think, 2 before the end. That to me, I watched it, I'm like, okay, this was a good episode, but
I even said to you while we were watching it, I'm like, I mean, I guess every show needs a wedding episode.
And like the
people love it.
Like the note or the little like line where Hargraves was like, people.
Hargraves. Know. I said Harlan, but I meant Hargraves.
Oh,
well, no. Harlan was also.
Oh, I thought you meant that. Oh,
yeah,
Hargraves.
Well, I meant that too. Sorry, go on. Hargraves. Yes, Hargraves.
Where he was like, two people get things together, or two events get people together, like weddings
and
funerals.
Yeah.
And it's like a wedding didn't work kind of thing. I think they could have announced their wedding, and then we could have jumped to that line of it not working, and didn't need like, oh, we're gonna dance, and we're like, it was fun to watch,
right.
But after, like you said, after the middle maybe being a little bit boring, and then getting... like another episode of like just stuff going on that didn't drive the plot forward.
Yeah.
Or I feel didn't drive forward as much as it could have.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was good. You're right. It was good.
It was good.
But it probably could have either had more going on to keep us jumping between things or just half length, you know, less episodes that just condense that a little bit more, where like all of the like trying to get Harlan's powers like out of him
to transfer.
Like I saw that, like I get that he was trying to like take that burden away from him, but that seemed like a really weird choice considering everybody else's priority was like, okay, the world is going to end. Why don't we focus on that first and not like, I'm going to peel off and for an episode I'm going to be doing these things with Harlan to try to get like his power. Like, that didn't really do any, and they talk about that in the show where they're like, you're doing this now, but I didn't need that.
No.
I didn't need that.
Here's another question that I have that I feel really got just brushed over completely. Mm-hmm. We know Harlan killed the moms. We know that. We know that it happened on accident because his own mother died and he was in the hospital. And he, in that moment, he was just thinking of what he wanted and how he wished that Victor, then Vanya, could be back in his life. And so he, like, had this emotional signal type thing that just went out. And the Vanya slash Victor's mother was in the hospital. And this killed her because he, I guess, Harlan felt Victor's presence as a baby about to be born and sent it out the closest he could. But then it killed everybody. But what, how did that kill the other moms? Because not all of them were in that hospital.
Yeah.
Right? Weren't they from all different parts of the world and cities and everything? We saw that.
Yeah, they were, and they were just, the only commonality was that they were all born at, like, the exact
same time. Nobody explained why that killed the other moms.
Not just...
They were not in proximity.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, that one I don't
They get. Weren't, right? They weren't, like, all brought to that hospital. We didn't see anything like that happen.
No.
We, in the very beginning, we saw it start, how the very first season started, kind of where, you know, there was the mom giving birth on the subway all of a sudden, situation. Yeah. But again, that was not here. I believe that was in Korea, if I remember correctly. But, like, see, this just is I don't understand. That bothers me. Because, like, they all wanted answers about how their moms died and who killed them. And they kind of didn't really get it. Like, they were all just like, it was Harlan. And Victor's like, but he didn't mean to. And they're like, it doesn't matter. He did it or whatever, you know. And then especially Allison, obviously so mad about it because that meant there was no Claire. So she kills Harlan. But we don't, they're not like, well, why, how did he kill my mom who was, you know, for Klaus, like an Amish lady out in the nothing. Like, they had to drive far away to go find her.
And we didn't really get, and that was another one, like, that felt like I didn't really need that. Because, again, we didn't really get much of a...
Well, I thought that was fine because then he talked to his mom in the afterlife, and it was kind of a chain reaction to figure out how they, who their moms were. They found the articles. It, that part kind of made sense to me. But yeah, but I just, how they actually were killed by Harlan, I don't understand that. They didn't explain it. They didn't explain it. Maybe there is an explanation. Maybe it's in the comics.
Maybe
it was, like, said in a quick passing way that didn't make sense.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Ben being a jerk for so long, I think also was a little tiresome. Where he really stuck to that, like, I don't have anything else, so I have to be a sparrow.
I have to be number one.
The same reason that, like, why are we caring so much about Harlan? It's like, I get it that, like, you're avoiding the end of the world because then it becomes like it comes to a head. And it's more kind of dynamic and exciting to watch. But I feel like genuinely people would still have their biases and their personality, but be more genuinely trying to work towards the same goal. So I would have maybe liked to see people trying to attack the problem in different ways.
This was also my issue a little bit with... And they kind of fixed it, but this was also my issue with when they all were trying to choose sides, whether to go with Harlan, with Har, oh my gosh,
Hargraves,
or stay when the end of the world was coming, the big Kugel Blitz was happening, and he was like, we gotta go through the tunnel to the other side. And, you know, there were people who were unsure. And I thought to myself, okay, if you stay, it means certain death and destruction. If you go, it might mean death and destruction, but it might not. It might mean continuation of your world, which they all go and they resolve it and we know how that goes. But the fact that it was even a question is a little mind-boggling
to me. Again, that we like ate up time on screen.
On trying to decide when I feel like this is a no-brainer. Again, two options.
Even if you don't care.
Certain death. Nothing can be done.
And then the other, or go.
Something can be done.
Go, even if it also means certain death. Like, you're, it might you, not. But, so, but, like,
but what's
go.
The, you don't have another option.
Exactly.
You don't have another option. So the only ways in which I feel like they kind of helped with that was like, you know, why am I forgetting everybody's name today? What is going on with me? The married couple, Sloane and...
Oh, yes.
His name is...
What's his name? Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I don't remember. but they wanted to, like, be together and just be peacefully together in their final moments. I can kind of like be like, yeah, okay. They didn't want to go die in a terrible, vicious way. Well, unfortunately, that didn't end up really great, did it? Mm-hmm. But then what I thought was really dumb was Diego simply deciding not to go because Lila was gonna go.
Yeah,
that didn't make sense. Like, I get that he's a stubborn idiot sometimes, but that to me still just didn't. Like, I thought he'd just sort of do that for a second to try and prove a point, try to get her to convinced. But then he's like tried to stand his ground there. And then number five was just suspicious of the whole thing. So him saying no might have just been a way to try to push Hargreaves into giving up what his plan was.
Because if you remember, Hargreaves is like an alien dude.
Yeah.
But when...
Which I forgot until...
The end, right? To like the last episode.
The tentacle moment.
Yeah. But then when he gets his head cut off at the end, in like the spaceship, it's a robot.
It did look weirdly robotic. It was like stuff sparking and stuff.
So maybe that at some point he did a switcheroo... And that wasn't him.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I think that's why we saw that.
I just thought that was he was a weird cyborg alien guy.
I think that's to show you that he was not there doing it. Because he's then, remember, he's standing in the building with everything saying Hargreaves Industries at the end.
Sure, yes, but what's his name that I can't remember with the muscles? He got brought back. We're talking about the end now. Are they dead? Are they all dead?
I don't know. That did look like a spaceship. They said it was a spaceship to, the hotel was like a disguise of like a machine for alien. You remember? It was like a spaceship.
Yeah, and there was this weird like grid.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
They needed to use the cells in their body to fuel this machine. And he was, so they stand on, each of them stand on their star. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, like a bing, like a beam of light that's like.
Maybe that's how they like lost their powers. Up. Because that like, light that coming out of them, those little like firefly bugs, look like what left Harlan. When he lost,
you're so right. You're so smart. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So maybe it's that.
Maybe it is that.
Maybe that machine.
That's the cells that fueled the machine. It was their power cells or whatever. Yeah, their abilities. But we see him rearranging things as if he's changing it. Is he changing it?
Or is he just, I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know.
And then they're like, Allison, no, don't do it. But then she did it to reset it.
Yeah, if not, what? They'd be sitting there in that spaceship.
That void.
Debating it. And we have like 5 episodes of them debating.
Just void. Just hit but the no, she did. She hit the button. She did a reset. But the city, the world, it's all different. His name is on all the buildings. Like he's like Biff. It's like the Biff universe now. It's like.
Maybe there was a switcheroo and he was able to like they reset it, but he still had the knowledge of what was going to happen. So like he basically like. Went through history knowing what would happen so that he could use it for his gain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something there.
Ben exists. Ben is alive. Ben is a part of it. Is this Sparrow Ben or is this
Umbrella Ben?
It seemed kind of to be Sparrow Ben, but it would make sense if he existed because he was also part of the Umbrella Academy. Because there's no Sloane, which would tell me... And yeah. She was the only other Sparrow left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Sloane. So is this a universe wherein he picked the Umbrella Academy and Sloane was born somewhere out there with powers, but not brought in to the Umbrella Academy because he picked the Umbrella Academy kids?
I don't know.
That's possible. Maybe they're going to go look for Sloane in this next season.
Maybe.
But I also thought the setup of this garden was so interesting with these different archways and how they all just went off in different directions. And I wonder if choices were made. If you pick a certain archway and go through it, does that put you somewhere else? I don't know.
What's interesting is that the archways also, to the best of my knowledge, were not represented in that hotel. There was no room in the hotel.
That looked like that?
That had all these archways.
Archways, gardens, a statue, you know.
Or even if it was inside the building, because it was basically that, like, there was a park, and then there was a big, like, pond in the shape of the hotel, where the hotel was.
Mm-hmm.
But that archway didn't look familiar. I don't remember anything.
Is this the future? Is this, we don't know. There's so many things it could be, and it's really fun to hypothesize.
It is. And also, remember in the second to last episode, or maybe the last one, the other reality where number one was still on the moon,
mm-hmm.
and we saw, like, there was an area he was, like, didn't even, he couldn't go past
and it had this spooky woman, dead bride woman whose name was, like, Abigail Hargreaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the other
reality.
And
then they were holding hands, so I guess his wife died and kept her alive on the moon. And that's why and that's why number one was up there doing anything to keep her
safe,
sustained, so that during this world he could bring her back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Her wedding dress, which seemed so haunted mansion.
It seemed very haunted mansion.
I'm using my haunted mansion mug today too, so that
it's appropriate.
There you go. It's appropriate.
You know what, Janae? I think we're out of time to talk about Harry Potter.
Oh my goodness, we are. Well.
We'll save next, it time. Next time.
Save it for next time. I'd be happy to do that.
We will talk about our Harry Potter.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad we got to talk about Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Miss Marvel.
Yes.
These were really good things to talk about. And we really want to hear from you guys. So please send us a message on Instagram. Leave a comment on our YouTube video or on our podcast, whatever. Let us know. Tell us what you think. If you have a hypothesis about either of these shows and the direction they may be going in their next seasons, you want to share it with us, and it's something we didn't say, I really want to know, and we'll share it in our next episode as well.
Yeah. Also, check out the website, fanserviceapparel.com, because we're going to have some new stuff going up very, very soon, if not already up by the time of this posting, and you're not going to want to miss that.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Check that out, and we will see you guys next week.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon next week.